All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and much to your chagrin, we're all here. And everybody's present and accounted for once again. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel, ready
I'm
to
just
do something.
Doing the mic thing
here
again.
Here he goes
aren't
again.
No, that's not the look. I was just like
twisting, pulling, yanking.
What does that mean? Much to your chagrin.
Yeah, that's the part I was going to ask about.
We can't please everybody all the time.
So, who is upset? I mean, besides the.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I hate to use this term, but besides the usual suspects that don't like you or don't like me.
That's what I'm saying. But just give
me. Don't like Nick.
Give me 15 minutes and I'll tell you for the day who are those that are less than pleased with the fact that we are all present and accounted for one, if not more, reasons of the three of us.
Gotcha.
So what's going on?
I feel that. Another day in paradise, man.
Absolutely.
Living the dream.
A hot, sweaty dream.
I wore shorts today.
I see that.
Yeah,
you
I got
the line.
I got the sexy legs going.
You just over celebrated Father's Day.
What are you? Because they're plaid.
You get the plaid shorts and the T-shirt, and looks like you just got done. You know, little beer and cake episode. I don't know.
You know, when I was looking in the closet, I went, I don't feel like wearing anything today.
And that would have been hard on us all. Not to mention the live stream.
I can't go naked because that would ruin everybody's day.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? There was these shorts that I was going to wear on Sunday or something like that. And I was like, nah. So I just kind of put them on the side there. I have like these little, like a little bench or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Threw it on that. And then I was like, man, I'm going to wear shorts. I haven't worn shorts to work in a very long time. Joel does it every day.
No, I don't do it.
And
every
then you
day.
Wore jeans today.
I wear jeans almost every day.
What?
Yeah.
Ever since AJ
especially on video
shamed
days.
You about no. wearing gym clothes?
First of all, the day AJ shames me is the day I need to get out of radio and stop living my life because he Why, does so, not affect me in
but
any
But you
way,
used to wear shorts a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just changed it?
Well, with the videos and everything like that,
gotcha.
Then I wear jeans.
That makes sense. Yeah, so I don't know. I just got a wild hair up my ass and decided to wear shorts today.
The tickle?
All right. It's going to be.
Nick's cleaned it up a lot.
What do you mean?
Nick's been very dapper lately.
Are you going to Astros games? Is that why?
No.
No.
You got a new chick?
Not really. I've just been wearing the same type of clothes I've always worn. Really?
No.
Less hats, more pressed shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually come up in shirts that are like all wrinkled up.
Like Jake Asman did yesterday. Did you see him? It looked like he drove to work in his trunk.
And that was a golf shirt.
Yeah, I was
it's
like.
It's hard to make a golf shirt look that wrinkled.
I was like, my God, Jake, did you ride to work in someone's briefcase? Why are you so wrinkled?
The bigger thing to me is, and I don't know if it's a New York media thing in the way you're trained, and I know, but you go to Creighton, you go to Jake, it's not what you are on the air. It's the fact that in the hallways and the open areas, the projection of your voice could call a football game without a microphone. I mean, it just literally could tell the visiting team who made a tackle from the home side bench.
Oh, yeah.
He projects.
One time you guys were like kind of yelling at me to like address whoever was speaking loudly.
That doesn't sound like us.
And it was Patrick Creighton and Jake Asman
oh,
having
my
a conversation.
God. Having a conversation or a yelling match?
Well, that's the thing. You would think that it sounded like a yelling match. They were having
wow.
a conversation. Yeah.
It was just two train horns.
I went out and said, could you please quiet down? They were totally cool about
and
it.
And they're like, no, we're whispering.
Train horns? That's like a whisper for them.
I know. When we were talking to him yesterday, and I didn't understand a word he said because all I could think is, oh, my God, he's loud.
He really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. You can hear from the parking lot. I'm telling you. His voice projects. I'm telling you.
But then when he goes on air, and now Creighton, when he goes on air, is still loud. But Jake, I don't think, is very loud when he's on air, is he? He's more subdued?
I think he is.
Is he loud?
Yeah, but maybe.
I'll be honest, I've never listened.
With the levels, I guess they can like I guess they can control it a little bit. I guess you can't control the levels with Creighton.
I think it's more of a consistent pace with him when he's on the air. Patrick, and again, those one-man shows, and I think those guys actually like it, but it's a lot more work. And I think that part of the way you try and think your audience stays more engaged is when you kind of go on rants. Go on rants.
Oh.
And the rant is executed when your volume goes up.
Oh, that's what a rant is?
Because listening to Pete Crate a lot, he pounds, when he gets fired up too, he'll pound the desk.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I think that, again, when you're trying to do those solo shows, and Charlie's different, because Charlie just is so even-keeled. He's the exact, and he's from New York. He's just the exact opposite. He rarely gets, like, fired up. Whereas those guys, in particular, Pete Crate, like, when he's going to make a point, he's going to make a point and blow the walls off this place.
Yeah, when Charlie gets riled up, his voice cracks.
Maybe.
I mean, that's what happens.
I don't know that it
goes up like nine octaves.
I don't know that it cracks, but it does raise a few octaves.
You're right. Well, like when Pete Crate, and again, I feel bad for saying it, but never listened to Jake Asman. No, I never listened to Jake Asman. I just assumed he would be.
Oh, Jake Asman.
Yeah. But yeah, Patrick. But I mean, I'm naturally loud too. So I don't.
Not as loud as them.
That's true.
Yeah, you're not as loud as them.
That's true.
You are kind of loud, but not that loud, not to that extent.
I come from a loud family, but I also worked in an office environment for almost 20 years in corporate America and learned how to use an inside voice. Unlike Jake, was just like, I can scream! Like, the whole time we were talking to him, I was like, dude, people are on air. But I realized he was just talking.
He was.
Loud. It's those damn Yankees, man. Those Yankee people are loud.
I said that, but you can't rope Charlie into that.
Well, most of the Yankee people are loud.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay.
Jerry, loud.
Jerry.
Jerry's New York.
Oh, I was like Jerry Bo.
Jerry.
Okay, yeah. Eyebrows Jerry.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that would be like his mob name.
Jerry Eyebrows.
Eyebrows Jerry. Yeah, Jerry Eyebrows. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of that, another guy with a nickname, I don't know if you saw that or not, but in the Dominican Republic, they have finally identified the guy that was the mastermind behind the entire David Ortiz fiasco.
Yeah.
His name is Bones.
Bones.
No. Bones, and there's one other guy they're trying to reel in that was the middleman. One was the middleman, one was the guy that did the whole thing. They said they met at the gas station one street over right before they did it. That's how they organized it.
That's really...
God. That thing.
It's
what
so,
a mess.
It's so weird. I was reading an article that was like, it might have been the one that you listed, but it was just basically like, here's the timeline of the David Ortiz thing. And it was like, so he gets shot. Everyone assumes it's a drug dealer. And then it's not a drug dealer. It was a jilted lover that he was having an affair with. It was this, it was that. And now it might have been just a mistaken identity. They shot the wrong guy. That's a new theory.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. They didn't mean to shoot him.
I'm like, what? But they said when they met at the gas station, they had pictures of who they were going after.
Right. And you would think that all of them would go, dude, that's Big Poppy. I'm not shooting him. He's a national hero.
Right.
I'm not doing that. No.
So I just think it's weird that if you're not in organized crime in some degree, whether it be drugs or other things, do you need and have to have a nickname? Because everyone that's been accused of something in this case has a nickname.
Yeah,
they have four names and then they have a nickname.
What would our crime nicknames be? I'd be like Barry the Gut.
No, you wouldn't.
No? What would I be?
Man, would Nick be Toot Uncommon?
No, Nicky the Horn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Nicky
be like
the Horn.
Joey Double Chins.
Thanks. Yeah.
What? I'm trying. Mm-hmm. This is what it's what it is. I'm Barry the Gut. No?
You're going to like an article I put on the rundown for later in the show, by the way.
Barry McCankles? I don't know what I would be. What the hell would I be? I'm trying. Barry the Gut? Pasty face Barry?
Pink skin?
Listen, jerk.
Barry pink skin?
I told him, I was like, bro, I don't know why my legs are so pink. When I was plugging in my laptop, I was like, good Lord, my legs are pink. He goes, oh, my God.
I was like, do you sit wrong?
Did you drive to work sitting Indian style? What's going on over there? It's like, man, I don't know why they look like that.
Well, you know, in football, They use the pink skin, and you got the pink skin.
I got the pink skin.
Close, I guess. I don't know. You and Lance today, by the way. Lance is dressed like he's ready to go to a Father's Day celebration.
Is he? What's he wearing? But he's always super cash.
Well, but he's got the button-up, short-sleeve button-up today.
Did he go all the way to the tippy top?
No. Oh, okay. He's got the nice shorts on, and he's got the little all-white tennies on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah. I think he was meeting with the interns trying to help him out, so I think he had to dress up a little bit.
Oh, very good. Yeah, yeah, I like when they do that. That's cool.
Yeah, he does a lot for the interns. Awesome.
Yeah. Somebody said Barry Giggles.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. Yeah. I have a... yesterday, I was leaving work, and tire light goes off. The little knee air thing. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, what's going on here? Because, you know, I just had the whole cracked rim fiasco. Mm-hmm. Nail in the tire of the same tire and rim that was cracked. Oh, that sucks. It's like there's a curse on it.
That sucks.
I was like, you know, and then it didn't go off until like right when I was on 610. And I was like, I'm going to try to make it home. And then I'm on the expressway on 45 North. And, you know, you can do the HOV, but you can ride on it by yourself if you pay a toll.
Right, right, right. Yep.
And I was like, man, what is that noise? And I roll down my window and I can just hear tick, 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 tick from the tire. I was like, that's a nail. That is definitely
God,
a
that
nail.
Sucks. And you can't take it out.
No. So we had family in this week, and my brother-in-law and his wife and new baby were staying with us for a couple of days for Father's Day. So I didn't get a chance to go get it taken care of this morning. So pray to God I don't leave with a flat tire. I aired it up. It seemed fine. It lasted through the night. So we shall see. But I started thinking, I was like, you know, there's this conspiracy that exists that tire companies won't invent a run flat or a tire that doesn't need air, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then I saw a picture, and I wish I would have saved it, but I saw a picture, or maybe it was an article, but it was like Michelin or like Goodyear, and somebody is working on a tubeless, airless tire. And it was really weird. It was basically you had this a layer of rubber, kind of like a circle that would sit on the rim itself.
Right.
And then the outer shell, right? The outer rubber. The inner core wasn't air. It was almost like a honeycomb.
Okay.
But it was real rigid. So I think it had a little bit of give to it like air would, but it didn't require air. It was enough of that honeycomb to support the weight of the car and the tires. And I was fascinated by that. I was like, yeah, we really need that.
Well, don't they make them for bikes now? The touring bikes and things like that, that you can get the airless tire?
I have no idea.
But you're right, because the other thing that they tell you is the stop leak is the easiest way to ruin a tire.
This is it right here. The airless tire could eliminate flats. Look at that. Isn't that crazy?
That's cool.
Yeah, I'll tweet that out. That's I'm down for that.
I don't know if that's a good look, but
why? Well, I mean, imagine, I think they just did that for
to show you what the inner workings looks
right.
like.
Right. They'll put a wall on it and everything so you don't see that.
Okay.
You don't want to be rolling around looking like a tank. But well, maybe you do. Hell, here's one for sale at Walmart. What is this? Is that really a...
I think the people driving next to you are going to be honking their horn going, your tire's flat.
That's crazy if that's real.
Yeah, I don't like that.
$842?
Oh, what a bargain. Get four.
Damn. You know what I'm going to need to get all the money to pay for that? Get Upside. Professional transition, folks. No, seriously, go download this app. I've been telling you all about Get Upside for a really long time now. And I always enjoy getting screenshots from you guys about how much money you're getting in your accounts. So definitely send me screenshots. I like seeing it, man. And I'll give you a shout out. I like this, man. But you guys can get a ton of cash back by just buying stuff you already pay for. And listeners have sent me screenshots of $300. One guy's like, dude, I got 25 bucks in 3 weeks. And it's going to depend. I mean, your mileage is going to vary. It depends on how much you use it, what the deals are in your area. But this is why I love GetUpside. The deals are always changing. So you might have a gas station next to your house, say the Shell or Exxon, because this is legitimate gas stations and restaurants, not some, you know, mom and pop shop that has water in their gas. Nope, Shell and Exxon and everything else. So you might have a Shell station next to your house that's only offering, say, maybe 5-7 cents a gallon. But that might change. It could go up to 10. It could go down. It just depends. That's the beauty of the app, though. You don't like a deal right now, you can drive somewhere else on the map and check, Or just wait, and the deals will change. It's beautiful. It was featured on ABC 13, so you know it's a legitimate product. I've been using it. Nick uses it. AJ uses it. My wife uses it. A lot of folks up here, a lot of listeners hopping on board. No reason for you not to get on board and start getting cash back. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations around the city. Now, do yourself a favor. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That will get you extra cash back on your first fill-up through the app. And these businesses want you to come to them. That's why they're offering these cashback deals through the GetUpside app. So put in that promo code Barry so you get that extra savings. Also, you can get up to 35% cashback at over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston. Guys, it's a beautiful thing. It's free money. Go do it. Download GetUpside. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Second segment of the show. Just getting it rolling on The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. Reminder, tomorrow we're at Wildcat Golf Club. Ooh. For the occasional invitational.
Can I just put it out there now?
Sure.
You might want to text me in the morning.
Oh, because you won't forget?
Mm.
Also, are we doing way back Wednesday?
We'll be on.
So it's way back Thursday?
That's throwback Thursday if we get that far.
Yeah, what? Why would the hell would it be called way back Thursday?
I don't know. That's the first thing I could come up with. Way back Thursday.
It was sharp. It was quick.
We got a really good theme for you. 2003.
Is that what it's going to be? Sweet. I'm going to do my list right now. Look at Joel's face. Joel does the lip bite.
Yeah, why is that different from any other week?
You can start on your list right now if you want. I'm going to do mine while you do your read. somebody said they make airless tires for lawnmowers. I'm surprised Barry doesn't have one. Yeah, I was looking because I Googled the airless tire, and the first one that popped up was at Walmart. And I was like, oh, check this out. This is what I was talking about. And it's the kind of got the almost like a honeycomb look to it. And it is for your lawnmower, a zero-turn mower. And it was $842. No, I'm not. I would put it on my car. I would spend that much on my car easily. I'm not putting that on a lawnmower. You crazy. Now, I need to get some, like, tire chains to keep me from getting stuck. But that's a different matter than airless tires on a lawnmower. What the hell? Somebody said that they think that it was to help, like, prevent, like, less impact on the grass. I don't see how that's the case because you're still all the weight from the...
Yeah, I don't
think that's the case.
And the bigger thing, too, the question I have is anything other than that, if it gets to the automobile level, is how's the car's gonna ride?
Yeah, they showed it like going over rocks and stuff, like, and then a nail, and the nail goes through, and that's all fine and good. But I'm with you. How is it going to dent my rims if I hit a pothole?
Right.
I feel like it would be more susceptible
to that. Your
mileage
based on the pressure and the way that this...
That I don't think would be any different.
I don't know, because if it's more give to it, basically it looks like it's not going to give you as much...
I would be interested to see how smooth and like how quiet... How smooth and how comfortable the ride would be.
Yeah.
That would be the three things.
Because I really believe that it would be like the engine has to work harder because without the proper tire pressure, without that being a real solid tire to get to the speeds that you want, I think it might be harder on your gas mileage.
Somebody had a suggestion for my crime name, Barry the Widow's Peak. I like that. That's not too shabby. Somebody said, hey, can y'all believe I'm getting the signal all the way in Jasper? While I'm out here making deliveries, well, good for you.
Nice.
I think we've heard that before. I think we got a good signal out in Jasper.
Yeah.
If anybody's in
the weather's cooperating.
Call us from Kunz after last night. The Regina Festival was on. Did you hear the blitz going home? I mean,
hilarious.
It would have been nice if AJ identified his co-host in the first 12 or 15 minutes, but Lance just kept going, yeah, and interrupting and interjecting.
He didn't say his name.
Never said his name at the start of the show. And then by the way, oh yeah, by the way, Lance is co-hosting today. As they funny. Made about 133 Regina jokes.
Yeah.
For that where was, Fred is
pretty
in Canada.
Funny. Yeah. I was cracking up.
Yeah, there was some good stuff there.
You could tell Lance was slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because he's like, you know, I'm still on the NFL Network. I'm not really allowed to
the way
get down in the mud with the rest of you.
The way he spelled it out, too, was like, well, you know, I was always worried about the demographic, and we were trying to get the real demographic, but to know that we got the 12 to 16-year-olds nailed is a good thing.
That was quality.
That's Lance's way of saying, this is not comfortable for me.
Yeah, that was good stuff. So when are you doing the show with AJ?
That'll be never.
Mm-hmm. What?
That'll be never.
Why? Yeah. Why is that a never?
Well, because I know AJ's shtick, for one, and how he does things. Yeah, and two... I know that you don't necessarily kill someone with kindness when you ask them to do something for you, but when he kills me, period, on a regular basis, including Friday, then there's just no need for it.
No?
No.
I think it would be fun.
I bet you do, because as a listener, you'd get a huge kick out of it.
I think you would hold your own. I think that you would take... Look, you play really innocent, but... I mean, we saw your Twitter beef with Ben DeBose. You can slang hammers out of here, like... You take your shots at AJ, and they're funny, and it's no different. Just like you do take your shots at him on here.
Just call me Joel the Night Owl. You guys have, I put people to sleep.
You guys, there you go. You guys have a back and forth, so I think
it's a lot
be
better
fun.
Than it was, because there's no real like harsh animosity. Meaning to it anymore and animosity. Yeah. But yeah, I think
just
I
you actually, guys being dicks to each other, but not wanting to fight.
Yeah, I'll tell you, next Thursday or Friday, I'll do it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because Fred's back.
No, is he? Yeah. I don't think he is.
Oh, you're out. Yeah, Fred.
Tell him
Fred's
if he wants
back.
To line up the remote, I'll be doing the live remote for him.
Fred's
from somewhere
back on
the 26th. Other than here.
Where you go? Where you headed?
LL Cool J.
Oh, nice. Going back to Cali.
Yeah.
Going to see the fam.
Yeah, and you know what? Raheel tips me off. Great tip. He says media members get free passes to Disneyland. I was like, oh, dude, Taylor wants to go for the first time. This is ideal. Lisa's in the media. I'm in the media. We can actually go and probably take her nephews. It'd be a fantastic day of it.
Right.
Got to go through all this application, and you got to put it on your letterhead, and you got to have your media passes. You got to do all these things. Do all of that. And I get a thing back that says you're declined for the reasons below. And I look down. That stupid new Star Wars exhibit. They blocked anybody from the debut of the Star Wars exhibit till the end of June.
Oof.
Missed it by a day. I was like, you.
Oof.
Mm.
Can you reschedule and just go the next week?
No, because we're going there. Home like the day after, so there's no way.
Oof. You got to find the right person to pull some strings.
I don't know who that is.
I know you know people.
Yeah, I just.
Get
like
Walt
the
on
NBA,
the phone.
Because the NBA used to, because they were associated with ABC, ABC Disney. But now it's just for, I talked to my boys at NBA Broadcasting, and they're like, yeah, now the lawyers that made the deal hoard them all for themselves and their families, and
jerks.
No one else sees them. So, yeah.
Jerks.
I was like, dude, that could have saved me a bunch.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No.
So we're but are you still going to go?
Oh, yeah, we're still going to go. Okay. Yeah, take Taylor and her nephews and do some other stuff, but see the relatives before Lisa gets too big. By the way, yeah, I met her at the door today to get her stuff out of the car for her, and I went, damn, honey. In like 24 hours, you just are really showing. She goes, yeah. She goes, yeah, all of a sudden today I was looking to make the swivel pivot at work and was like, whoa, so I'm carrying around another. Yeah, she's starting to show pretty good right now.
Nice.
So, yeah, so the baby's getting big. So,
good.
Yeah, so there we got to see the parents and all that before she gets to be the killer tomato. She wore red today. I was like, oh, honey.
Oh, you're making fat jokes?
Oh,
you're brave.
Sure, absolutely.
You're brave.
Yeah, she resembles that remark.
Okay.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We got Astros to talk about, lots of other things to get into. And, of course, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest besides nicknames for us, if we had our own mafia, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also reach us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. With all the rain that we've had recently, maybe you realized you got a leak in your roof. Or it made you think about putting a new roof on your house and really wanted to get the process started, but going with a company that you can trust. Well, that's Fitz Roofing. They're locally owned and operated, and they take care of the people here in Houston, Texas. They use only the top quality products like CertainTeed shingles, so you're going to get the best product to get the best results, going to last a long time. In fact, Fitz Roofing does so much work that they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet that criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. They're base warranties longer than your average roofer. They're going to take care of you before, during, and after the sale. Great customer service. and they have the ratings to prove it. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. If you have roofing issues, there's only one company to call. Check them out at fitzroofing.com if you want to see all the information, fitzroofing.com. Or better yet, call them, 832-521-3001. Set up a free no-obligation inspection today. 832-521-3001, free no-obligation inspection. They come to you, they check out what you got, tell you what they can do, they go away. You want them to come back? Just hit them back up. They'll be back there in a jiffy, and they'll take care of you with all that great customer service. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Back with more of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. Barry, Nick, Joel with you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. They're at Twin Peaks. They're going to be with Raheel today, filling in for Fred. So that's the way that's going to go.
That's going to be a fun show.
So what is going to be?
Fred and Raheel was a fun listen.
It was a good show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now Raheel is going to be interrogated about what? Being Pakistani and.
Yes, I'm sure. You know, they used to. Raheel was an intern for AJ in Austin.
Oh, my God.
Why'd you say, you know, you said that, you know, you used your outside voice on that, right?
I didn't use my freaking Jake Asman voice, thankfully, but, man, I got even more respect for Raheel.
Yeah, he was a,
and he made it through.
He did.
Good for him.
Yeah, so that should be a fun show.
Yeah.
They're two wild and crazy guys.
What are you,
Steve Martin?
Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd?
We were talking at the break about this Altuve video.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance, because I saw it, and then I saw Lance mention it first.
He did.
But it's true. If you see this triple that Altuve hits, first of all, he pops up and throws his bat down and jogs to first. And then he realizes that the guy can't find the ball. He ends up on third with a triple, but there's a hitch in his get-along. There is definitely something wrong.
He's not running smooth.
I don't know if he maybe tweaked an ankle doing that, because like you pointed out, which I didn't even notice, it took him a while to get up. But as soon as he slides in, he kind of puts his hand on his ankle. And you're like, oh, what's that?
But I'm hoping it's the ankle, because then it's not the knee still acting up or the hamstring still nagging. And if it's just a sprained ankle kind of thing, then good.
Well, but then AJ Hinch is out here saying it could be as soon as Wednesday when Altuve rejoins the team.
Yeah, Brian McTaggart tweeted out, as we were
getting on air,
looking at all this, he tweets out that AJ Hinch said that Altuve's flying to Cincinnati today. He's going to talk to him about where he's at physically. And Altuve, if he says he feels good, could be in the lineup Wednesday.
Wow. Yeah, here was the quote. So this article was posted at 12:57, right as we were going on air. Mm-hmm. And the quote from Hinch said, "We are going to bring him to Cincinnati, assess him. There's a chance he's activated as soon as tomorrow, which will be great for our team, both morale-wise and production-wise. Hasn't played since May 10th. Update on Springer. He's going to run the bases on Tuesday, and they'll look to send him on a rehab assignment later this week with the hopes of return coming next week.
He has been shagging flies during batting practice and doing random things, but obviously the way the Astros always like to do things, there is a rehab assignment that needs to take place before you're back on the active roster. So I would hope that by this weekend that they're getting him out somewhere on a rehab assignment.
Did it look like he was favoring his left leg on that run?
Altuve?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, something. I don't know which leg.
No. You know, I think it was his right leg. I think.
I don't know if it's left or right, but I know that like there was something going on.
Because he grabs the right ankle.
Right. It's the right ankle that's messed up.
Right.
Or seems messed
up. Well, at least that's what he grabs. Regardless, he wasn't smoothly and speedily running the bases.
It's not the typical Altuve gait that you're used to seeing as he rounds the bases. So maybe it's just something that he tweaked within the moment of that run and not something serious. You know, sometimes you just misstep.
Yep.
So we'll have to see. I meant to bring this up yesterday.
All right.
But kind of a bone to pick with AJ Hinch.
Okay.
In regards to this lineup.
Because you know I got a bone to pick with one of his assistant coaches, so you go right ahead.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We'll get to that.
Okay. So if you look back a little bit, I mean, Bregman's been leading off. And then, so this 15-2 win for the Astros was Bregman, Brantley, Gurriel, Alvarez, with Mareznick and Miles Straw at the bottom of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Same thing, Bregman, Brantley, Gurriel, Alvarez again against the Blue Jays. And then he goes Bregman, Brantley, Alvarez hitting third in the last game in Toronto. And then this game against the Reds, it was Bregman, Brantley, Alvarez, Gurriel with Wade Miley batting. I don't know if I like putting, you don't really have a prototypical leadoff hitter in the lineup with when Bregman is up there. I feel like you're wasting some scoring opportunities. I feel like when you have a Mareznick or a Miles Straw in the game, to maybe put them up second or first in the lineup. The
problem is they're not really good hitters to get on.
Miles Straw was getting on base at a pretty good clip.
Now, yeah, drawing walks. I won't give you Jake, but I would give you Miles Straw.
But Miles Straw is getting on base at about 40% of his plate appearances. Whether it be through hits or walks or whatever it is, that's 40% of the time he's on first. That's an automatic steal for second. And now all you need is, if you've got a Bregman hitting second instead of first, I mean, you could start this game off potentially by knocking in a run.
I would bet you that their rebuttal to that would be, well, after you get through the initial time with the top of the order, from that point on, Mareznick and Straw are still going to set the table for a big bat like Bregman when you turn the lineup over.
Okay, but over the course of a series, you're wasting two, maybe three at-bats for those guys.
But you have a better hitter.
But you have a guy that gets on base 40% of the time that's losing at least three plate appearances every series. And if he gets on base, that's one at less runner you're getting on base by him being nine instead of one. Does that make sense?
It makes sense what you're saying. I'm not going to say that I necessarily agree.
With a team that's, you know,
I hear
seemingly in the last couple of days struggling to score runs. The offense isn't what it could be at times. Now, granted, they put up the 15 and that was great. Or what was it? Yeah, the 15.
First two games of the Toronto series, they were blasting it all over the place.
15-7, and then they didn't score in 17 innings until they scored against the Reds. It had been 17 innings without a run. But I'm just saying, Bregman is not George Springer. He's a different kind of hitter. And so to have him hitting first.
The other thing, too, is he's deceptively slow.
Yeah.
He should be quicker than he is, but that's another reason why he's not Springer.
True. Now, in the you know, when you're going to have a pitcher like in the NL Parks, I'm a little less concerned about it. I kind of get it more there because do you put Tony Kemp lead off? I don't think so, because Tony Kemp gets on base less than 30% of the time. But, you know, he has experimented with Reddick leaning off, and Reddick has tended to cool off a little bit. But I just don't know. Bregman leading off, I don't like. I just don't like it.
Okay.
I will say this, though. This last game, and was it this last game or the game before? Yeah, so he had Alvarez. Alvarez has now hit third in the last two games. Mm-hmm. That's telling of what they think about Yordan Alvarez.
He had one for five last night, right?
Right, but that lets you know, like, when he got into the majors and he was hitting fifth, I think, the first time, his first at bat, first time in a lineup, he was fifth. And we saw this with guys like Bregman and Springer and Correa. Correa is the last that I remember where you saw a guy come in and inserted about fifth, sixth in the lineup. And then once he proved himself in short order, it didn't take long for Correa to move up to the top four spots. Bregman the same way. Now, Bregman struggled a little bit, but they moved him up eventually. So it does say something about what this club and what A.J. Hinch thinks about Yordan Alvarez and what he can do at the plate and how he's proven himself already. Because they're not putting him at third in the lineup if they don't believe in
him. I've been saying since the time he just got up here, we need logos for this guy, we need catchphrases, we need sayings, because this guy is going to be red hot from the get-go.
I'm just saying, it does show you that they respect what this kid has done and believe that, you know, this isn't a flash in the pan.
Not even just
him.
Respect it, but they recognize the fact, yeah. like you and I talked about. It's one thing to say the guy's got power. That's obvious. But to look at his eye at the plate and know that he knows the strike zone, even last night again, we're laying off pitches that a lot of guys, especially home run hitters, would chase, mm-hmm. working the count deep, doing a lot of things while it doesn't show up in the box score necessarily every time. You can tell this guy gets it in terms of managing the strike zone.
I don't understand why, like, I would have Alex Bregman batting in front of Yordan Alvarez because, right, he's struggling a little bit. If you look at his like, he's in his last seven games, he's hitting 167.
He's frustrated by the amount of walks he's getting because the lineup's so depleted, they're pitching around him.
Yeah.
Last night he got robbed on that ball up the middle.
So why not put him
it's a good point.
At second if you're going to have Alvarez batting third? I would be okay even if Brantley led off, even though he's not fast. That's a guy that gets on base, though, a little bit.
His average is going to get you more than his speed.
So, I mean, Brantley has a 370 on base percentage. Bregman has a 397. So both of them can get on base quite a bit. But if you're going to walk Bregman, if you know Brantley's going to get on base and you're going to walk Bregman, well, you're really setting it up for Alvarez at that point. I wouldn't mind him being in front of Alvarez and them feeling like they have to pitch to Alex Bregman. Because right now, Brantley is batting second in front of Alvarez. And, people don't want to pinch to Brantley, but I don't think they're as scared of him and his power as they are Alex Bregman. That's why Bregman has 55 walks already.
The biggest thing, too, is, like I said, they're pitching around Bregman on a regular now. And
sure.
And he's really getting frustrated by it. And he just has to realize, look, it's not going to be like this the rest of the year, assuming all these guys get healthy and get back.
They're not going to be able to pitch around.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. But for the time being, take the base without getting frustrated, because it's a good thing. It could start something going. This team needs runs. You can do some things with it. But I think the next time he gets up after that, he's a little bit more aggressive than he would normally be in the zone. If something's close,
yeah,
he's going to chase it a little bit more, too. So,
well, and I wonder, too, if the thinking is that, hey, if by putting him in the leadoff spot, he's going to get four or five plate appearances a game. If they're going to walk him, then we're going to have traffic.
Right.
So that might be, hey, you know what? No matter what, if as much as they're pitching around Alex, maybe that would force them to pitch to him by putting him in the leadoff spot. Because you certainly don't want to walk the leadoff batter of the game and pitch around him. So maybe that was the thinking. I don't know. I would just like to see him batting in front of Alvarez at this point. I feel like he would get more pitches to hit.
Okay. So I got two things.
Okay.
One with AJ. One with one of the guys on his staff.
Uh-oh.
We can get to that in the next segment. Yeah, because you saw I tweeted one of them, and I just...
I'm not always by the book,
but the book says...
I know. Send him.
Yeah. So we got some things to get to. You know where you need to get to? You need to get to Twin Peaks, because if you're looking to watch the Astros tonight in Cincinnati or the big series coming up against the Yankees, you don't want to watch at home. Well, there's no better place to watch than one of the six area Twin Peaks locations in and around Houston because of the fact that they've got all the TVs, all the satellite packages, so they can get you all the sports that you want to see. And they're going to do all of that for you while they provide you with fantastic made-from-scratch food, ice-cold beer and other beverages, and, of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. It's a great combination platter on any of the six locations, and you get it all no matter which one you visit every single time you get in there. By the way, did I mention those Twin Peaks girls? Because summer bikini party time, June 21st through the 26th. You know what that means? The outfits change. They wear less, you get more, if you know what I'm talking about. And with all those made-from-scratch menu items, you can order just some of the fantastic things from appetizers to main courses, even their no-smoked meats menu. You get all of that, and then you realize that all the draft beers are 29 degrees, ice cold, and just quenching your thirst while you're watching sports. Twin Peaks girls take great care of you. And some of the events coming up, you got the CONCACAF Gold Cup begins. United States play on June 18th, so that's coming up today. If you want to watch the USA make their Gold Cup debut, you got the Astros, you've got Miss Twin Peaks coming up as they get into these contests now with some of the pretty girls from Miss Twin Peaks College World Series, all these different sporting events, and only one place to watch. So get to one of your Twin Peaks locations where it's eats, drinks, scenic views, Twin Peaks.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back with Astros talk. Hour number one of the show is we've been covering a lot of ground, but we're in this Astros conversation, and I was watching the game last night. Two observations. Both of them really got me a little irritated last night because I know that they're scuffling a little bit offensively. As you mentioned, they had that scoreless streak going after the first two games of the Blue Jay series. But the bottom line is, whether you believe in certain guys' arms, whatever.
Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, Yasiel Puig's got an arm. I get that.
Cannon.
But they have been struggling to get runs on the board.
Okay.
You got a chance with Bregman with a full head of steam, who's at least at the bag, if not around it, by the time Puig fields it in right field. And Gary Pettis, with two outs on an extra base hit, holds him up. The book says two outs, you're trying to score that run on a play to the outfield, especially to the warning track, simply because the chances are greater that that run will score based on him trying to score than it would be to rely on one more hit with two outs and trying to capitalize on guys in scoring position. Puig made a hell of a throw. I saw that. But someone responded to me when I said, Gary Pettis, what are you doing? Two outs. You got a chance to tie the ball game. Bregman with a full head of steam. Why are you holding him up? And the guy's like, well, did you see the throw? It was a cannon, right. But it was at best in the right side of the batter's box, if not outside the right batter's box.
Bregman scores on that.
I think Bregman
based on that throw.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I said so many things have to go right. The throw's got to be a laser and on time. The catcher's got to catch it. You don't know how Bregman's going to slide. If he does a classic kick slide on the right side, he can drag his foot and get there. There's so many variables that have to go right for the defense that you got to send him there. And that really ticked me off. And then I was like, I know that they think they're going to score. But then to make matters worse, Miles Straw, one of your guys, and a guy that you've said, you know, he's shown that he's got a good concept in the zone as well, works a leadoff walk down a run, and he never sniffs a steal. It just, those one on Hinch, one on Pettis, but I'm like, come on, guys. I know it's not the classic Astros lineup where you just, you know, you've got a lot of punch and power and average, but let's manufacture some runs. Those were two opportunities I thought they left get away. You need a runner in scoring position in the ninth, and I think there was ample opportunities to send Straw, who's only been caught once in the majors, and we know what kind. I'm not going to give you a Todd Callis and tell you that he leads all of baseball in stolen bases.
You know that. Yeah, I tweeted about that.
Yeah, and he did it. Did you do it? Because he did it again last night.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think we talked about it on
the
show.
You did. You mentioned it on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, because it really is outlandish to say that. Yeah, that Alvarez leads baseball and professional baseball in home runs
with 25. Him and Yelich, trust me, Yelich earned his 25 at the major league level.
Yeah,
but those not two in the things, Pacific Coast League where the ball is extra juiced,
right? Those two things really kind of torqued me last night because I thought that at the very worst case scenario with the Pettis thing, I think you're in extra innings, and I think you know if that run scores, I think in the ninth inning if Straw has a chance to steal a base, you got a chance to win the game.
Well, so the Bregman was up at the plate with Straw on first, correct?
I don't think initially. Maybe he was. Straw, you know, maybe he did. Brantley was at one point because I think Brantley got a hit after that.
Well, so Straw was inserted in the pitcher's spot in the rotation.
Okay.
So it would have to have been Bregman.
I think Bregman swung at the first pitch and popped it up.
So the question becomes, if you send Straw, then they're just going to walk Bregman. And set up, Brantley has been prone to hit into double plays.
Yes, he has. They all have. But here's the thing. If they go and do that, now you're putting the winning run on base. Cardinal sin in baseball.
Sure.
But if you want to put the winning run on and have Straw, your speediest guy at second base, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Pettis sin to me was he's pretty aggressive over there.
He can be, but he's not consistent. Just when you think, because there's a lot of people that were torching him last night saying that's just who Gary Pettis is. I'm like, no,
I feel like he's pretty aggressive. I like the job that he does over there.
Okay, I'm not going to say that this is like job threatening or that he does a bad job. I'm just saying last night with the unwritten rules of baseball, I don't know how you hold him up.
I would have sent Alex Bregman. I think you now if that is a routine ball in right field and Puig is not standing on the warning track, that's but he's in the corner on the warning track. That's a tough throw to make for anybody. It's a long throw to make for anybody.
That for sure.
And I think I take my chances with that because not only does he have to get the ball there in a hurry, but it's got to be online and accurate. It's a pretty difficult play to make for any outfielder. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he may have just shown a little too much respect and been a little too conservative in that situation. I think it's a little frustrating for those guys, but they've scuffled the last two games and to try to score some runs, and it's going to be highs and lows. But I saw somebody, and I think it was your boy. Your boy Ben.
I got so many boys.
Your boy Ben was catching heat last night, and he was like, well, it's June, but this could come back to haunt him.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Slow down, buddy.
I was like, which boy are you talking about?
Slow down, buddy. They're going to be fine. They win the next two games. Guess what? They won another series. So it's just how they fall. So I wish Pettis would have sent him, but I wasn't losing my bleep like everybody else was on Twitter. Yours was pretty tame. You were just you got to send that guy. Some people were just way over the top about the whole thing. It's like, look, that's going to happen sometimes, all right?
Yeah. I mean, your boy tweeted me today to say, look, the reason why he didn't send him is because he's the worst third base coach in baseball.
Oh, my God.
Just, hammering. No. He's always done this. And
I think I think we're burying the lead here. Wade Miley only giving you 4.1 innings is a bit of a disappointment. You manage pitchers a little bit different in the NL and opportunities come up with pinch hit. But what?
I think it's a rain delay. I think the rain delay, and you don't really get a chance. You can't really re-warm up because now those are that's wear and tear on your arm. And he really, when I watched him, I was like, how's he going to get lathered up and get that arm heated up again? And he didn't take that many pitches. Granted, he got through the first inning pretty easily after that. But then I was like, only 8 pitches in between. It's going to be hard for him to really get deep into this game because of that, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a great point. And, you wish you could have got a little more out of him, but it's kind of bad luck for the Astros because as taxed as this bullpen has been, you hate to see a rain delay and then your starter's basically not going to be able to give you at least 6 innings like you hope to get out of these guys most of the time now. Right. So bad luck for the Astros and their pitching staff once again.
Yep.
So hopefully it doesn't come back to bite them in the butt. But
this isn't the Orioles, but you still should be taking advantage of beating the Reds.
You should be beating the Reds.
Right.
It's okay, though.
All right, well, just like that, 1 hour in the books. Still got 2 hours to go with the big show. Lots coming up and lots of opportunities for you to get involved. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. Hour number two around the corner, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.